Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Berger speaker. Today we are going to continue in our new series of studies, The Power of God in Our Lives. On our last broadcast, we considered the power of God in our lives in saving us. The salvation of the person that trusts in our Lord Jesus Christ exhibits the power of God. Now today, with the help of the Lord, we want to consider the power of God in changing our lives. And let me say from the very onset of the broadcast, he starts out with a whole new person. I'm going to talk about the new birth. The new birth is accomplished by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God takes the life of Christ and puts it into that person who believes that the Lord Jesus Christ died for him on the cross of Calvary. We go to the third chapter of John, and I don't believe time will permit us to do it today, but we have a very earnest man there, Nicodemus, who thought Christ was a teacher come from God, for no man could do the miracles that he did unless God was with him. The Lord told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He cannot even see the kingdom of God. And then he tells him how to be born again. He doesn't tell Nicodemus that you need to be born again and then not tell him how to do it. No, he doesn't say so per se in so many words, but he gives us John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That was the Lord's message to Nicodemus. I believe Nicodemus did believe in the Lord. But here is what happened. When we are born again, and the Lord Jesus said, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. When we are born again, the Spirit of God takes the life of Christ and puts that life within me and within you the moment that we trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, don't ask me how he does it. That's not my business. That's his business. My business is to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died on that cross, that he was on that cross for me, putting away my sins, and for you too. And I just tell that to everybody that's listening to this broadcast. You have as much right to this as I have. And he puts the life of Christ within you. He starts out with a whole new person. Now, I want to give you a few examples of how this new life, by the power of God, was manifest in some of the early Christians. First, I think we'll go to Thessalonica. In 1 Thessalonians, we read in chapter 1, verses 5 and 9 and 10, these words. Paul is writing to his beloved Thessalonians. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power. And this is dunamis, the miraculous, explosive power of God, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. Now you notice, please, it's the word and it's the Holy Spirit that affects the new birth. When we believe the word of God, the Spirit of God creates the life of Christ within us. He goes on to say, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Now later in the chapter, he speaks about the testimony of these Thessalonians that was spread abroad when they confessed Christ. And the apostle says there in verse 9, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. These Thessalonians were idolaters. Now, when the gospel was brought to them, they turned from idols to serve the living and true God. Now, they didn't turn to God and then just their idols dropped off. They turned from idols to God. They saw the superior excellencies of our Lord Jesus Christ, and their idols just faded into insignificance. And then he says in the next verse, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So God starts out with a whole new person. and it had its effect in the Thessalonians, and we are also led to believe that Paul, in writing the Romans, brought the same thing to their attention. I think I shall just read it. It's in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 to 9. Here they are. For they that are after the flesh, you mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now here's a contrast. Here are two persons. The Christian is a dual person. He has the new life, the life of Christ that's within him, and he has the old nature, which has been corrupted by sin, which he's lived with all his life, and which incidentally stays with him until God delivers us by the avenue of death, or by the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Christian has that old nature. He has to put up with that old nature. But he's a dual person. Notice how it comes out in verse 5 of Romans chapter 8. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. That's the old nature. After the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. I should read that verse again. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now he goes on, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. We have to be born again before we can please God. We're dead in trespasses and sin, Paul tells the Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 1. And a dead man leads life. And when the life of Christ comes within us, we are born again. And then we can please God. Then Paul's message to the Colossians, chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Notice how he brings out a similar truth, using different words, granted, but it's the same truth. Verse 9 of the third chapter of Colossians, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Now here he calls that old nature, not the flesh this time, but he calls him the old man. And then the next verse, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now this new man is the life of Christ within us. And it's the new person. As we said before, the Christian is a dual person. Now, the old man is that old sinful nature. The new man is the new life in Christ. Now, the new man is the life of Christ within us. Paul tells the Galatians in chapter 2, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Notice, please, he says, and the life which I now live in the flesh. Now, that's in the body, of course. The flesh has a twofold meaning. It's the body in which we live, and it's the nature which inhabits that body. And this life that I now live in the body, he could have said that, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So you see, God starts out with a whole new man. Now the Spirit of God develops that new person. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 to 13, that he teaches us about the Lord Jesus Christ. God gives the Spirit of God to us to develop that new person within us. He indwells us. And we read in there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 to 13, he becomes our teacher. Listen, please. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Our Lord Jesus Christ told his disciples when he left them in the 16th chapter of John, and notice how this corresponds to the second chapter of 1 Corinthians. We read in verse 12, and these are of the 16th chapter of John, these are the parting words of the Lord Jesus to his disciples. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, it is capitalized, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore I said, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. He told his disciples, the Spirit of God is going to bring these things to your mind after I am gone, and teach you about me. So the Spirit of God develops that new life, that new person, and he conforms us to the image of that person. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, these words, but we all we Christians, he's writing to the Corinthians, people that knew the Lord, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. As we view Christ, as we see him in the Word of God, the Spirit of God conforms us to the image of Christ. To see Christ is to know Christ, is to become like him. When we admire a person, we become like that person. We want to become like that person. And when we admire Christ for loving us, dying for us on the cross of Calvary, we want to become like Christ. And that's the ministry of the Spirit. I'm going to read that verse again, that wonderful verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, that glass is, of course, the mirror. The Word of God is spoken of as a mirror in the first chapter of James. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the mirror, the Word of God, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, from one degree of glory to another degree of glory, even as by the Spirit of God. That is his wonderful ministry. And so the power of God changes our lives. Our Father, we come into your presence to ask that the Spirit of God will have his way in our hearts, that we shall become more and more like Christ through beholding him in the Word. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.